may say 2 Timothy, but we're done going through the book of Timothy. So I had planned on jumping into one of the minor prophets, a short Old Testament book this morning, but we'll save it for next week, so we'll plan for the book of Haggai next week. Whoa. Yeah. Haggai's great. However, so is Psalm 40. So I've been reading through the Psalms in my daily reading, and this week, so I read Psalm 40 was one of the ones, and yeah, I read it, and I thought, you know what, well, Sunday we're going to do Psalm 40, and that's because as I went through it, there's a couple things, it's like, wow, God is good. And His word is good. So I'll pray, and then we'll dig in. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your word, which we have open in front of us this morning. And our desire as we go through this particular chapter is that we hear from You. It's Your word. It's Your voice. And so, Lord, we desire to learn from You this morning. Pray Your Holy Spirit would lead us into application of Your word to our lives. We pray for the children downstairs, that as they learn from Your word as well, that You would speak to them. For all of us, Lord, help us to grow in faith and walk with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Psalms have a number of different authors. And David, being the one who wrote the most. And Psalm 40, we see at the beginning of it, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." So this is one of David's. And the Psalms are a combination of songs and prayers to the Lord. And this book of the Bible is very encouraging when we go into it as we see relationship between God and, in this case, David. And so there's a lot we can learn from, the content of a chapter like chapter 40, and also just the practice that's being modeled, where there's a man who comes before God and speaks to Him honestly, comes before Him. And so it's both the content and the what's happening in the heart. And David in particular, and the guy was a warrior, very tough man, saw many hard times, but he also had a heart for God that caught God's eye. And we know he wasn't perfect. In fact, there's a number of terrible things that he did. But he repented. And he kept seeking the Lord. He would turn back to the Lord. So, yeah, there's much we can learn from the Psalms. So Psalm 40, I'm going to start by simply reading through the whole thing, because sometimes we can lose almost the sense of it when we're, I think, when we're just breaking things down verse by verse. So I'm going to read the chapter. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I proclaim the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me, for innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. We don't know when David wrote this, at what point in life. Certainly he had ups and downs along the way. He's had a long time running from Saul's army in the wilderness. He became king. He fell into sin. He repented. He was restored. But there was his life was in danger many times. And so this psalm could have fit in a number of places in David's life. So let's get into what he's saying to the Lord here. And I wanted to read the whole thing because you get a sense. This is a prayer that he prayed. And we can learn a lot just by going, wow. There's an openness before God and a trust in that relationship. So something to look at and go, this is an opportunity for me as well, for you and I, to have this kind of communication with the Lord. So the first three verses say, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and will trust the Lord. And so, a prayer and a song, it certainly has a praise element to it. But he describes what was going on at a point or points in his life. So, David describes patiently waiting. And then on the other side, the Lord inclining. It's like leaning. to hear the voice of his servant. It's interesting to think about us speaking, but the Lord actually inclining. He's probably not leaning to listen from his throne, but he wants to hear. It's pretty astounding to think about. It's a beautiful picture, one of the Lord inclining to hear. And it speaks of, when we talk about relationship or seeking the Lord, that it's like it, this is a relational. Like it's, like think about the fact that anytime we want to call out to the Lord, he's there. If I think about myself, every time the Lord wants to speak to me, am I present? Probably not. Well, it's not a probably. But the Lord is. He's inclined towards us. And then from hearing, the Lord hearing, then there's also action. So what did he do? He brought David up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay. So horrible pit, I mean, they're descriptive words, so like trapped, miry clay, stuck. And neither of those, they're not the same thing, but they're both unpleasant. Whether you're trapped somewhere or whether you're just slogging along. Think about walking in sticky clay, if you've ever done that. It takes a lot of effort. You don't get far. So he brought him up and set his feet upon a rock. But through the process, notice it says, I waited patiently for the Lord. So sometimes we might go like, what does that even mean to wait patiently? I can only wait so long. I'm stuck. I'm in a pit. This, where it says I waited patiently, the Hebrew is, it could be put this way. In waiting, I waited. It's kind of interesting. In waiting, I waited. So there's kind of a doubling up on the waiting, which speaks to, when he says he waited, he had to wait with diligence and earnestly, patiently, persevering until God decided was the time to help him. So that it speaks to the trust in the Lord and in waiting, I waited until the Lord lifted me up and set me on firm ground, on a rock. And the Lord will do that. The Lord picked David up, delivered him from his situation, set his feet on a rock, establish his steps, and he will do so with us as well. There is great comfort in being sure of the ground we stand on. And that can be practical things like, okay, David's no longer being chased through the wilderness. He becomes king. But for us, there's those practical things, but there's also our life, the very core of our being. Are we sure of who our trust is in? Are we on the rock? Are we planted firmly on the rock? Or are we tossed and turned and unsure and unsettled, stuck? So are we men and women of faith? And are we sure of who our faith is in? When we are, our feet are on the rock. And with David, we see as we read of his life in the Bible that Through all the ups and downs, he was a man of faith. And he finished well, even though there were some rough spots along the way. And that is what the Lord desires of us, is that we finish well. Not everyone who starts well, so to speak, finishes well. The Lord desires that we finish well. But to do that, we need to trust God and allow him to establish our steps, like give us direction, direct our lives. And a lot of that is really surrendering our will to him. Going, Lord, I know I fight you at times. I resist you. I don't want to resist you. I want to trust you. I want to wait for you to direct my life. Please help me. I find the "please help me" fits in a lot, right? Verse 3 is something, when I read this, like going through my own like daily Bible reading, quiet time. And here's a practice that I believe is really helpful. Like for all of us, we should be in God's Word daily. Pray and be in His Word. It's not a race to get through the Bible. Start with a book of the Bible. Read through from chapter 1. Read a chapter. Read half a chapter. Just get into God's Word and pray to Him. And my encouragement is to have time where it's not about trying to dig every single thing out of the portion of Scripture, but just go, Lord, you can bring one thing to my attention that I can hear from you today. And then consider that and take that back to the Lord. Talk to him about it. And so in my most recent going through Psalm 40, because there's a lot in here, but the thing that just jumped out to me, and the Holy Spirit will bring different things to each of us, but it was this verse 3, he has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust the Lord. But that put a new song in my mouth. It speaks of the joy of the Lord to me. So a new song, a new joy, a renewed praise for the Lord. And it's an awesome thing that he would put that in our hearts, in our mouth. So yeah, it's an awesome thing. It's something we can pray for. Lord, put a new song in my mouth, in my heart, one from you. And we see in this passage, and that will be a witness to those around us. People notice when we change, and they wonder why. Well, the Lord put a new song. The Lord gave me new life. And we can see that clearly with, okay, I wasn't a believer. I became a believer in Jesus. I came to faith. That's a big change. But there can also be the change of, I've been in like a spiritually dry place, and now I'm not. And the Lord has brought life again. And I think of Nehemiah 8, where it says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There is so much joy and strength. I've thought of this at times. The difference, like the situation could be exactly the same. If I'm feeling kind of depressed, say depressed or like really focused on all my problems, versus if I'm in a state of joy, being joyful, like it's a completely different. I don't know if any of you can relate to that, but it's certainly for me, it's a completely like the mountain just shrinks. And so the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so that the Lord would give us his joy. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure for some of us, it's time for that, like a new song. Trust the Lord, wait patiently, he'll do it. Verse 4. Blessed is that man, so man or woman, so blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust, and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Which is amazing that the Lord thinks of us. But first, blessed or happy, content, is the one who trusts in God. And part of trusting God is what we're not doing. So we are to trust God, believe him at his word, believe him enough that we will seek to do as he instructs. But then along with that, there's things that will fall to the wayside, if you will, like respecting the proud or listening to the proud or following the example of the proud, and also not respecting those who turn aside to lies or being those who follow what is contrary to God's counsel to us. And it's very easy to, well, here's the thing. Those who trust in God learn not to trust the ungodly or those who turn to lies. And that may seem obvious, but it's so easy to say, I trust God, or we trust God, and then act on worldly principles, which are based on quite often pride or lies, contrary to God's truth and instruction. And it's just very easy to do because we're surrounded by it, we're used to it. Some of it seems to make sense to us because it's normal. But the more we learn from the Lord, the more we realize, okay, trusting him means I'm also not trusting certain other sources of information or influence. So even in Christian circles, it can be common at times to find that many seek the advice of, say, experts, and there's lots of different fields of experts, who are getting their wisdom from somewhere other than God's word. And really what we need to be careful of is things like that are very clear, like it says in Psalm 40. Those who turn aside to lies, so it's contrary to God's word. Or they're proud, full of pride, so self-focus. We don't need help learning to be self-focused. We need to avoid those who encourage that and be more Christ-focused. So, trust God. Which will keep it simple. Hear from him and then seek to follow through with obeying him. An encouragement I have for us is do not underestimate the power of God's word. It's helpful if we get it clear in our minds that God's word, the Bible, God's word is actually God's word. Him speaking, so it has authority. It's not weak. Those who disagree with it or promote something else or God's word plus something else that's actually contrary to it, they're not smarter than God. And sometimes it gets packaged up in a way that makes it seem like maybe it is. It's not. So go to God, hear from him, do what is right. So do not underestimate the power of God's word. good question to ask when we're making decisions and getting input on things is, like, what's the biblical principle that you're operating off of here? What is the scripture that you're operating off of? What is governing the direction that this is going? Where's the heart at in this? And when we go to God's word, hear from him, and then go, okay, I'm going to commit to, Lord, following what you're saying, that's trusting God. And when someone else says, don't do that, do this, but we see God saying, no, listen to me, and we listen to God, that's trusting God. So those who trust God will be blessed. Verse 5, we see the praise and gratitude of the psalmist, of David. And this idea, well, it's not an idea, it's a fact. It's a fact we may not have thought of before or known, is that God thinks of us. He thinks of us as a whole, this group. He thinks of us as individuals. And that's an amazing thing. It speaks of, for each one of us, it speaks of value, that God would think thoughts toward us. And Charles Spurgeon said this on this passage, God's thoughts toward us are wonderful because they are so many. They cannot be recounted. You cannot count God's thoughts of you. One gracious thought is followed by another. Swiftly as the beams of light flash from the sun, so that it is impossible for us to number them. We don't have the capacity to even count them all. Which if you sit and think about, well, if I sit and think about it, it's another one of those things where the circuits start to fry a little bit because I can't grasp it all. It's too big. So David gives the glory to God. So without God's faithfulness, David would still be in the pit. Where would we be without God's faithfulness? The one who trusts in God does not take credit when God bestows mercy. It's funny how easy it is for us to, we can plead with God to take us out of the pit, but sometimes, unfortunately, he does, and then we forget that he's the one that did it. And somehow we think it was our own smarts. It's not. Give God the credit. Be humble when he bestows mercy and grace. Be thankful and praise God. It may be hard, it is hard, but when we are down, there's nothing like turning our attention toward God and praising him to change that attitude. We start to be reminded that God is good. Verse 6 through 8, and David speaks of himself. The ultimate fulfillment here is found in Jesus. Verse 6, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. If you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, you'll see that this is quoted in the book of Hebrews. So, Hebrews 10, verse 5. And so, we're just jumping into Hebrews 10, but the author of Hebrews has been talking about the animal sacrifices. That system was insufficient. it's Christ who fulfilled God's will. It's Christ's death that brings our salvation. It's his sacrifice. He's the only one. But so, Hebrews 10, starting verse 5, therefore, when he came into the world, that is Jesus, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. And carrying on a bit more, verse 8, previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that is, first covenant, that he may establish the second, the new covenant. By that will we have been sanctified, or set apart, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So there we see a portion of Psalm 40 in Hebrews 10. The Old Testament sacrifices, the sacrificial system, it pointed to a need for redemption or forgiveness, but it did not redeem. It could not forgive. Jesus came to atone for our sin, be that one sacrifice that could pay our debt. He delighted enough in his Father's will to obey even to death on the cross. And David himself understood God did not desire sacrifices, offerings, burnt offerings, or sin offerings. Those four describe the various types of offerings that were given. That was really not God's desire. Those who think the Old Testament is all about the law miss the point. The point is, all of that pointed to the need for a Savior. So it pointed to Jesus. And he is the one, with his death, he is the one that can reconcile us to God. And so what God desires are servants who are changed at a heart level, like the core of our being, not just performing rituals or works, kind of looking good, trying to look good, or earn God's favor. So it's much deeper than that. Those who have ears open to hear and a will that's submitted to God. The delighting to do your will. That's when we know the Lord is changing our hearts, when we start to delight in doing his will. And we should. It's a reasonable response to God's grace to us. Note also verse 8, and your law is within my heart. To delight in obedience is to take God's word to heart. I can go, yes, I agree with you, God. Help me to obey. We've just finished a study of 2 Timothy, right? One of the scriptures we looked at there, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God, or God breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So those who delight in the Lord, delight in his word, we are to take God's word, his counsel to us, hear it, pray over it, simply talk to him about it. Meditate on it, so think about it, consider, ponder, pray some more. All the while allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us so that we would know at a deeper level and understand, and ultimately we would delight in the Lord. One of the things that strikes me in all this, to delight in the Lord, to delight in His Word, one element that we may have trouble one portion that we have trouble giving up is our time. This takes time. Relationships take time. So is the relationship with the Lord. So to delight in Him would be to enjoy the time spent with Him. A question could be asked, well, what if this isn't happening? What if I'm just dry? Like, I feel like I'm in the desert. Like Jeremiah has that picture of the one who trusts God is like a flourishing tree. Jeremiah 17. And the one who doesn't trust God is like a shrub in the desert. Sometime, I think if we're honest, I've felt it, even though being a child of God, I should be a flourishing tree, I feel like a shrub in a wasteland. And it doesn't feel great. So we might ask at times, or just say, like, I just feel dry, so what do I do? So here's the thing to understand. Being spiritually dry or feeling like I just don't, like I feel dry, like I'm in the desert. It's not the absence of God. He hasn't run from you. I read something earlier this week, and it was this. Spiritual drought is not the absence of God. It is a call to dig deeper. Because we feel that He's absent, but He's there. We speak to Him, He'll incline toward us. So dig deeper. Press in. Spiritual dryness might be like, another picture might be like, I'm stuck in the miry clay, like David was. Wait patiently and seek God. Trust Him. This isn't going to last forever. Press in. When we're dry, where should we go? Go to water. Jesus brings living water, John 4:10. He is the living water. The temptation can be, oh, I'm just dry, and that's it. I don't know what to do. I guess I'll just keep being a shrub in the desert. I'll go towards the water. There. Let's keep it at that. Go towards the water. Dig deeper. Press in. Okay, verse 9. We've got to keep moving. I proclaim the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, so Lord, you yourself know. I have not in your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head. Therefore, my heart fails me. So, a couple things here. Note the characteristics of the Lord. that we see here. And David is saying, I have not kept these things to myself. I have shared them. But we see righteousness, faithfulness, loving kindness, truth, and tender mercy. These are characteristics of God. It is good for us to hear that and understand that. I've certainly heard it at different times from different people. You know, God is an angry God. The God of the Old Testament is an angry God. Well, the God of the Old Testament is the same God as the God of the New Testament. He has not changed. And he is righteous. He is faithful. He is loving and kind and truthful and has tender mercy towards us. So this is good to know. And good to share with others, to know it and give it away. So verses 9 and 10 describe the proclamation of the character of the Lord, which is something we can do. We can share that with others. 11 and 12 speak of, there's a shift there. It speaks of the continued need that David had in his life. We have in ours. David knew that while he had experienced the Lord's deliverance, he also still needed preservation, if you will. He still needed the Lord. And David had this close relationship with the Lord, but part of that close relationship was he was honest. I believe as we read this, he was honest with the Lord. Which is kind of a strange thing that we're not honest with the Lord since he knows everything anyways. But it's very easy to kind of not share everything with him. Well, he knows. But there's something in that step of actually going, Lord, here, I'm laying it out before you. What does David say? My iniquities have overtaken me, so I'm not able to look up. Just feeling the weight of his sin. More than the hairs on my head doesn't sound like one or two, or even one or two big sins. It does. Sounds like a multitude of sin. And aren't we all like this? But the thing is, there's hope. As well, God is just. He's also merciful and gracious. And in Christ, we are set free. Right? The weight of that sin landed on him. By his stripes, we were healed. Isaiah 53. So there's hope. Verse 13, be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, aha, aha. So it may be actual enemies that are out to get us, which David had. It may be the enemy who wants to tear us down, wants to drive us away from God. It may be the flesh in the world where there's that battle with that. The point is, we need help. It's the not getting proud thing. Dangerous place to be when we start thinking or acting. Sometimes, perhaps the problem is we've stopped thinking, and then we're acting like we don't need God. That's prideful, and it doesn't end well for us. So, before the Lord going, Lord, help me, deliver me. I am not perfect. My sin, there's a weight. But then going, and thank you for Jesus who paid the debt. Really, this points to a continual dependence on the Lord. We don't want to be guilty of the mindset, you know, I can handle this, or if I just get this right, I won't have to bother the Lord about it. That's foolish and arrogant. Here's the thought I had on this. Never try to move past dependence on the Lord. And I say that with this picture in mind of when we're in desperate times, we can at times be quite faithful in calling on the Lord. And then things get a bit better. It's like, oh, I think I got this. We should start feeling the clay pulling at our feet when we say that. Because we're moving off the rock and onto something else. Shifting sand, really. We will never grow past dependence on the Lord. We need Him for salvation and for that sanctification, that living set apart, lives that honor Him. So keeping investing in that relationship with Him, keep calling on Him, keep hearing, and then trusting Him at His word. Because if we're not depending on Him, who are we depending on? Ourselves, our wisdom, somebody's wisdom that opposes God. Be careful. Trust God. 16. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. Let such as love your salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. That is excellent counsel for us. And 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. I love the way this psalm comes back to depending on the Lord, need. Like he's praised God for the help and the mercy and the grace and the deliverance. But it comes back to, I'm still a sinner. I need you. I want to magnify you. And I'm in awe of the fact that you think of me at all. So rejoice. Here's how we finish. Rejoice. Magnify the Lord. This one thing will help keep us close to the Lord, is magnifying Him. Point to Him. Constantly point to Him. It will help us not depend on self. Because when we actually look at the Lord and look at ourselves, we go, yeah, I'm a little short of what God is. I really need to trust Him. And the thing is, there He is, inclined towards you. It's just an amazing picture. I love these pictures we get. And He thinks upon me. He thinks upon you. He is your help. He is your deliverer. And the way it ends, do not delay, O my Lord. So even in the waiting, we started with David waiting on the Lord, and in waiting, I continued to wait and persevered. Even in that, there is a, Lord, don't delay. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to keep trusting you and waiting on you. Please move. Please act. Please intervene. persistence, perseverance. So rejoice, magnify the Lord, recognize that we have need. God is gracious. We all, like Romans 7, Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am." We're pretty wretched, but yet we're trophies of God's grace. It's amazing. So realize the favor of the Lord, hope in him, and anticipate his help. I mean, this is important as well. So as we finish, a couple things. Delight in the Lord. Seek that. And what that means is if you're not in that place, if we're not in that place, bring it to him. Go, "Lord, I don't delight in you. I'm going to be honest. Help me." He knows it anyways. Feeling dry? Talk to him about it. Pray to him. Psalm 40. Like, we can keep things very practical and simple. We don't have to make it overly complicated. Feeling dry? Psalm 43. "Lord, you put a new song in David's mouth. What about me? What's going on here?" And just honestly, not arrogantly, but honestly. And so we can do that with God's word all over the place. And I do believe at times this is one of the things that we overlook, is like talking to God about his word. He speaks to us, and sometimes we forget to speak back to him and go, "I don't understand," or "This doesn't seem to be happening in my life," or "I need help," or take it to that place. So I encourage you to do so. You do so, remember, he's inclining towards you and listening. Remember, even when we aren't, the thing is, even when we aren't actively seeking God, God has thoughts for us, right? He's thinking of us. He loves us. He cares. Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And there's so many beautiful psalms. We looked at one today. Lord, help us to be those who have a close and honest relationship with you. And we pray, Lord, that you would, if we're stuck in a pit, or we're mired, we feel just stuck, we feel dry, Lord, pray that you would lift us up, set us on the rock. We think of the one who is the rock, our Lord Jesus. Help us, Lord, to have the gospel as our foundation and grow in relationship with you. Lord, where may we never be so arrogant to think that we do not need to depend on you, that we've got it. And pray, Lord, you convict us when we slide into that. Don't let us stay there. And Lord, we are so thankful for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we pray for your joy. Even if times are hard, and often they are, pray for the joy of the Lord in our lives. We pray for a new song in our mouth, in our hearts, one from you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, everyone. If anyone would like prayer, please come on up to the front on my left. And have a very blessed week ahead. And we'll see you either at the midweeks or Friday evening dinner.